always has each of us in his hands. He's always there for us, okay? Losing the crowd here. He's always there for us. So he has all of our world in his hands, and we know where this is going. Okay, so... And so what I would like to have you do is stand up, and this is not a performance, but get on your feet. Here we go. And I'm going to lose the mic, because if I sing into a microphone, that's all you hear is Mrs. Bell. So what we're going to sing about is God having the whole world in his hands. Can I record, please? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. Me, because I feel like when you turn, pardon me, we need a little bit more. What we're going to say is volume. Okay, I just want a little more sound. Don't be nervous. We have all kinds of people singing, and they're more concerned, you know, about us all having like a really good feeling from this. So here we go. We have a little, and then what other things can we have in our hands?
Hot dogs.
We have a hot dog in our hands. That's a really good idea. Didn't see that one coming, but that's good. How about, do we have our church and our family in our hands? We have little bitty babies, which to me is just the whole world. Okay, how about we'll just start with that again. What we need is just a little bit more volume, okay? So can I just have a little force and back up a little bit? Okay, I'm feeling a little bit. There we are. Okay, good. And I think we need to like get the hands up here for the whole world. Don't be self-conscious. It's fine. And the choir's going to sing too. One, two. He's got the whole world.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the 17th chapter of Luke's Gospel, and this is the story where Jesus encounters the 10 lepers. Now, a few weeks ago, I was on a retreat with other clergy people from New Hampshire and Maine, and we had the scripture read to us during our opening worship, and the person leading the worship invited people to come forward to act out the scripture as it was being read. It was kind of, you know, an improvisation moment. And it was interesting to see the people who volunteered to be the lepers, the 10 lepers, and to see how they got into the character, how they kind of shrunk down and went backwards whenever anybody came near them. And it was interesting to see the people who volunteered to be the disciples as well. As the lepers came near Jesus, one of the female pastors instinctively jumped in front of Jesus to block his way. And then the person playing Jesus took one look at her and just stepped around her to be closer to the lepers. It was a very Jesus moment. Now, another interesting moment during that presentation of the scripture was the person who was reading it misspoke and actually said, when Jesus entered the village, he was approached by 10 leopards. Now, we all laughed as well because of that image of Jesus being approached by 10 leopards. But when you think about it, we may have the same reaction as the people in the scripture did to being approached by 10 lepers. We may turn and run in the other direction, preferring them to keep to the outskirts of town and far away from us. Now, there's one other thing I want to make note before I read this scripture, and that in this text there's a mention of Samaritans. Now, we hear them in Luke's Gospel in the story of the Good Samaritan, and I just want to remind us that the Samaritans and the Jews were kind of spiritual siblings. They worshiped the same God and practiced a similar faith, but just different enough that there was friction between them. Similar to today when we have friction between the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims. We all worship that same God, but those differences sometimes have us on other sides of the fence. So we'll keep that in mind as we read the scripture from the Gospel of Luke and scripture about healing. So listen to this story and listen also for the word of God. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was approached by 10 lepers. Now, keeping their distance, they called out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And seeing them, he said, "Go and take yourselves to the priests. Show yourselves to them." And as they went on the way, they were made clean. And one of them, taking note that he had been healed, turned back and praised God with a loud voice. And then he prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus asked, "Were there not 10 who were made clean? Where are the other 9? Were none of them moved to return and give praise to God? Except this foreigner?" And then Jesus said to the man, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Here ends our reading from the Gospel of Luke. May God grant us understanding of these words.
The other 9 lepers ran to the priests. Jesus asks, "Where are the other 9? But we know. They went to their priests. Probably not because they were ungrateful, no, but because they were eager. Eager to get the real impact of this healing, the real purpose of this miracle. Because going to the priests was the last step to be able to go home. Leprosy was a dreaded but common affliction in biblical times. So common, in fact, that the book of Leviticus spends 2 whole chapters teaching priests how to diagnose diseases of the skin, how to pronounce lepers ritually unclean, and, importantly, how to perform rites of purification should they be healed. And Leviticus speaks to the role of lepers as well. "The one who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his lip and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease, and he shall dwell alone in a habitation outside the camp." Unlike other biblical afflictions, however, leprosy was not seen as a punishment for sin. Instead, it was understood as an inexplicable act of God, which, of course, made it even more scary. If there was nothing you did to deserve leprosy, then it followed that there was nothing you could do to avoid it. And so lepers were shunned. Because their disease was contagious, yes, but more so it was their pain, their loneliness, that no one wanted to catch. And so they were kept at a distance and declared unclean, and only the priests could call them clean, acceptable, welcome again. And so when Jesus cured them, I can only imagine the flurry of excitement and impatience and urgency that followed in the heart of all 10 lepers as they ran off to meet their priests to go home. We can't really blame them for this, right? They weren't completely restored, not yet. And so the gratitude might have, probably would have, come later, when they could reflect on the enormity of their experience, when they really saw what Jesus had done for them, when in the arms of their family and friends, they could breathe again. Then they could stop and take a moment to thank God for this miracle. All 10 ran, but one ran back. Who knows why this Samaritan came back to give praise? In Greek, doxazo, probably, from the same root as our word doxology. Maybe as a Samaritan, he took less stock in the blessing of Jewish priests. Probably he had his own priests to go to. Maybe he was encountering his faith in a new way for the very first time and needed to come back to hear more about his God. Or maybe he knew that whatever was to come, this moment was important to mark, important to celebrate, important to praise and to pray over. Probably he knew what each of us comes to know, that curing is different than healing. Because just as there was a difference between the actual skin lesions and the curse of isolation, there are two kinds of healing happening in this story as well. Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well. It is well." Theologian Jennifer Glenn writes that healing in the fullest gospel sense implies a transformation of perspective in which human life and relationships take on a new meaning unbounded by death. This is the kind of healing the church is all about. In just a few minutes, we're going to do a different kind of ritual that seeks to recognize this transformation. The ritual of anointing is ancient. It goes back to biblical times. Anointing is a spiritual practice, both a nod to the healing powers of God and an act of thankful faith. Jesus anointed and was anointed by others. Christ in Greek and Messiah in Hebrew mean anointed one. And so as Christians, we too are the anointed. Anointing is a sign, an embodiment of our prayers, an openness to the Holy Spirit's work within us. We anoint in the sign of the cross, remembering our baptisms and union with Christ. In anointing, we seek God's presence with all of us, every single one of us, because we all experience grief, pain, suffering, and sickness. Because as Christians, we know that these bodies are temporary. Bodies are good, but limited. They are vessels in which we live out our faithful spiritual selves in all the ways that we are called, at home, in church, with our families and friends and neighbors. And we live into our faith in the ways that we honor one another's physical beings, right? This is why we believe in welcoming all, no matter how we show up. All kinds of ability, ages, races, and identities. We know that as children of God, our physical selves both deeply embody our goodness and are also entirely separate from our worth. In this healing story, Jesus brings 10 men back from social and spiritual isolation into full community, back home. This is a spiritual healing first and a physical healing second, and our 10th leper knew it. Healing is not curing, it's a vision. It's a transformation of perspective where we are more than just the bodies we travel around in. The good news of the gospel of the resurrection is this, that we, our spirits, our souls, our beings, mean more than illness, more than health, more than life, and more than death. Thanks be to God, and amen.